If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 23. There's a couple of verses there that are going to be my main text for this morning. But today I begin a two-part message on liberty and the current events taking place in our nation. In the first part of this message, I will touch on some very sensitive issues like hypocrisy, politics, riots, racism, and prejudice. It's the type of message that's probably going to hurt some feelings. I'm probably going to step on some toes, slay some sacred cows, topple some idols, and guaranteed, if not in this room, someplace online, make somebody mad. It's honestly the type of message that pastors get angry messages over and even death threats. I ask you to listen to my entire message. If you disagree with me, then please, let's sit down and talk about it. Let's sit down and talk about it as rational human beings and discuss where we disagree, discuss the facts, discuss the history, discuss where we come from and our perspective on things to seek to find truth and healing. Because if we can't come together in that manner, on those terms, then I doubt there's any hope for our nation, for we will tear ourselves apart. So first, hypocrisy. The bulk of my message today is going to be dealing with it. How many of you understand that the Lord Jesus had some really strong words for hypocrites? He wasn't very kind to hypocrites. He wasn't afraid to point out the fact that they were hypocrites. And so I'm going to do the same thing this morning. If you would, stand with me as we read from Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28, and then I'll ask you to remain standing as I read from Matthew 12. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And then Matthew 12, verse 34, you brood of vipers. Talk about calling it like it is. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we consider these things, as we look at what's taking place in our nation, Lord, we understand that spiritual liberty can never be taken from us, Lord. But the physical liberty, the personal liberty that we have enjoyed in this nation is in danger. God, I pray you would open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, to see the things, the dangers that are all around us, Lord. Lord, and that you would come, Lord, that you would work in our midst and heal our broken land. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, Jesus obviously didn't know that he was supposed to be politically correct. It's not politically correct to point out that the spiritual leaders are dead inside. You don't call them a brood of vipers. If Jesus was going to be politically correct when he came to the temple and he threw everybody out, he wouldn't have called them, thieves. He would have called them financial opportunists. The Pharisees, he really should have said, they were theatrical makeup artists who specialize in the decay cover-up or offspring of a serpentine descent. It would have been much more politically correct. We live in a day where men in power accuse others of wrong only to be found doing the exact same thing. Quid pro quo, Joe. We have former Vice President Joe Biden on video demanding the firing of a prosecutor in Ukraine. He said, if he was not fired, then I'm going to hold up. You're never going to get the $1 billion in aid that we promised you. He laughs about it on camera and says he got the guy fired. And yet the Democrats accuse President Trump of quid pro quo with Ukraine. But what Joe did is fine. The Democrats accuse President Trump of collusion with Russia. And yet now we learn that the Democrats have colluded with the FBI to attack President Trump. In the case of now exonerated General Michael Flynn, there's now evidence that suggests that President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden were in on the conversation to entrap him. Now listen, this is going to be pretty one-sided this morning, but don't think it's an endorsement of Trump or the other side, because there's hypocrisy on that side too. How many of you remember the Republicans impeached Bill Clinton for an affair? And yet let's sweep all the affairs and all the bad things that Trump has done under the rug. The Republicans do it too. They're hypocrites all the time. They just call it politics. I could go on and on with this stuff, from politics to Hollywood to news outlets to the founding fathers to the church itself. But my reason for talking about this today is hypocrisy is having a dire effect on our nation. And the lies that are being told and the actions that are being taken are tearing us apart. You see, liberty is slipping away. Our nation's foundation has begun to crumble, and the yoke of bondage is falling on our shoulders. For the most part, in recent days, I've been pretty silent on much of what has occurred. It's not been a shying away from the conflict engulfing our nation, but rather a lot of time spent in contemplation and observation. And so what I see taking place is I've been meditating on things like COVID-19, riots and protests, the knocking down and destruction of monuments, the cries for justice, the loss of life, and so forth, is the fact that our liberty is being destroyed. It's slipping away one bit every day. Our God-given rights that we cherish as American patriots are being demolished. Again, piece by piece, one bit at a time, every day the country so many of us love and the God-given liberty that it recognizes is being taken away. It's not a new or sudden thing. The undercurrents have been building for years, and this is simply the result of many years of undermining the foundation of our nation. The news we see each night, the wars that erupt on Twitter and Facebook every day, are simply the inevitable eruption of the pressure that has built, and I would say orchestrated. To many in our nation, those words that I just said would induce cries of white privilege and racism. They would say that I'm part of the problem, and I and those that think and speak like me need to go. I can assure you, I am not racist, and I am not a prejudiced. They would say I'm not being politically correct, and they would be right. I have no desire to be politically correct. I have a desire to be truthful. Liberty is slipping away. The foundation is under attack, and the yoke of bondage is coming. Now, what you have to understand is political correctness is a means of shaming someone into silence, or bullying them into submission of thought and action. It's a powerful, powerful weapon, and it's something that we can equate to witchcraft. And it is the weapon of choice for the liberal left. Pastor Steve Chase wrote some time ago, "The methodology behind political correctness is witchcraft and control. Its goal is to control thought and speech. The attacks and abuse released upon people makes others afraid to speak their minds, lest they also come under the same abusive verbal and other assaults. The political correctness police unleash an assault of witchcraft upon those who fail to fall in line with their sorcery." Got me thinking of a verse that I'm sure many of you have heard before, from 1 Samuel 15. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." You see, witchcraft seeks to defy the normal order of creation with a word or an incantation, a spell. This is rebellion against God. It's through demonic words that witches operate. Political correctness is like witchcraft, and that through words, the political correctness police seek to exert control over another. Like witchcraft, fear is a major component of PC. When the Druids were not satisfied with the offering left to them by people, they would carve a jack-o'-lantern and leave it there and pronounce a curse over the house that at some point in the night, demons would come and kill someone. People lived in fear that the Druids would speak a curse on them. And so when someone will not bend the knee to political correctness, then assault is unleashed, making them fearful to speak. When we fall under the spell of political correctness, it binds us. It shackles our hands. They become tied and our voices silenced, just as if we were under a spell. What is scary is in this hour, we have seen the PC police go past words and move to physical and financial threats and action. I can't tell you how many people I've seen who have lost their jobs because of something they said outside of work. And it's not as if many of these people were saying truly racist or prejudiced things. They simply took issue with the way things are being done, or they were, how dare they question popular thought and belief and opinion. They quoted actual statistics and truth that go against the fashionable narrative, and boom, suddenly they're racist, they cannot be tolerated, and we must fire them. Modern political correctness is society defining what is correct and true, what is proper behavior and thought, speech. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what common sense says. All that matters is what society says. Sexual sin becomes an alternative lifestyle. Terrorists and insurrectionists like Antifa become freedom fighters. We get 100 different genders, and we're told we're the ones that don't respect science and biology. Wickedness becomes right, and those that point out the sin of the day become outcasts. Again, truth, statistics, they don't matter at all, because all that matters is the narrative of the movement. That is modern-day witchcraft for you. And so what have things led to? You go out in public right now without a mask on, you're branded as thoughtless, cruel, and rude. This message is reinforced over and over again on the news, by social media, in advertisements, and by celebrities. If you don't wear a mask, you're a murderer. Never mind the fact that they do very little to protect against the virus, as recently stated by the New England Journal of Medicine. And please, I don't want to insult anybody that's got a mask on this morning, anybody that believes that they should be wearing one, because you have liberty to do that. Amen? In America, we have this beautiful thing called liberty. It's God-given to us. We have freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of belief with a constitution and a bill of rights that guarantees our inalienable rights. Even when people don't like our views, our thoughts, our actions, and they run to their safe spaces, we have liberty. Now, obviously, liberty has its limits. You can't commit criminal acts and say, it's my liberty to do so. You can't go into a crowded theater and scream fire. You're not at liberty to do those things. But we are free to think, believe, say what is in our hearts. We have liberty to take actions. And oh, the hypocrisy from the elite on the current issues. From the spouses of governors traveling on vacation or out to the lake on a boat ride when everyone else has been ordered to stay home. To Chris Cuomo running around lecturing the rest of us, you better stay home, while he's running around with COVID-19. To Governor Northam of Virginia out at the beach doing photo ops, hugging people without a mask on. They don't have to follow the rules, but you do. Liberty is slipping away. Its foundation is under attack. The yoke of bondage is coming. Best one of all that I saw, though, was on MSNBC. News reporter Cal Perry was outside reporting on people not wearing masks in Wisconsin. There he was in the camera shot with his mask on, fiend bewilderment at the sight of so many careless, rude, cruel, murderous people. And the host asked, Are the people there just not worried about it, Cal? Are they not worried about their personal safety? I haven't met anyone who is, Perry said. He then added, nobody is wearing a mask. As the cameraman pointed to a gentleman without a mask on, who pointed back and said, hey, your cameraman's not wearing a mask, and half your crew isn't wearing a mask. Oops, segment over, cut back to the studio. Woe to you hypocrites. You brood of vipers. Liberty and freedom are precious things. The Bible even tells us to stand firm in our liberty and not to submit to a yoke of slavery once again. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So, issues of liberty. There is a fight for liberty taking place right now. And it is much greater, more important than if we must wear a mask. Liberty is very much under attack. Religious liberty, which we're guaranteed here in America, is a precious thing that we must protect. Governor Janet Mills of Maine has said previously that churches must apply to the state to reopen, and she will decide which ones get to open and when they get to open. I guess she's never read the Constitution, or maybe she just simply doesn't care. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble. Churches can't open, but you can riot. The governor of Illinois has said he may not let churches fully open for an entire year. But again, you can riot and protest all you want. At the end of March, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced during a press conference, I want to say to all those who are preparing the potential of religious services this weekend, if you go to your synagogue, if you go to your church and attempt to hold services, after having been told so often not to, our enforcement agents will have no choice but to shut down those services. In cases of disobedience, he added, law enforcement will take additional action up to the point of fines and potentially closing the building permanently. Yet protests are encouraged. In other places, churches that fail to comply with staying closed have been threatened and told that their buildings and land will be seized and bulldozed if they don't comply. Again, protesting and rioting are perfectly acceptable. You see, you and I have been conditioned, the country has been conditioned to accept things that past generations would have found abhorrent, no matter what side of the political aisle you were on. Governor Andrew Cuomo said publicly that the state of New York is no place for pro-lifers or believers in natural marriages. Such Christians ought to just leave. Free speech, free thought, being free to believe as you will is no longer tolerated. The founding fathers must be rolling over in their graves. If the church and good people do not stand up and fight for our liberty, we may soon find ourselves physically fighting for our freedom and even our lives. Liberty is slipping away. Its foundation is under attack. The yoke of bondage is coming. For a few minutes, I want to talk about protests and riots. Protests and riots were, of course, sparked by the murder of George Floyd by a police officer. Race and police brutality have been simmering issues for many years. These issues are real issues. Don't think for a moment that racism and prejudice do not exist in America. America has a violent and sinful history regarding slavery and the oppression of African Americans in particular. There is no way to avoid the fact that prejudice has been and continues to be part of our nation. And so very quickly, let me say a couple of things. First, in my opinion, George Floyd was murdered by those police officers. If you don't think so, then let's sit down and discuss it. Second, Black Lives Matter. In Sunday school, when I was a little kid, I learned that red, yellow, black, and white, and I'll add brown to the song, are precious in his sight. Jesus went to the cross and died to save people of every color skin. And there is not a group of people or shade of skin color that is superior to another. Amen. Prejudice has no place in the church or in the nation. If you're prejudiced, you need to repent of that sin. Now, I want to define a couple of things for you because it's really important to understand before we move on. You need to understand that prejudice is about skin color. I don't think I need to say much more on it than that. It's sinful. It should be repented of. But this is an individual heart condition. You cannot change individual heart conditions by making laws or taking actions. A spiritual change has to take place in the heart to get rid of prejudice. But racism is about power and oppression. Racism happens when a race or a group of people hold power over another and use it to oppress them. This is something that can be changed by laws and by action. And so let's take a moment to talk about racism in our nation, where it is and what it looks like. So if you want to find real institutional, systemic racism, look at places like the public school system. Look at what the liberal teachers' unions and the liberal policies have done, which have held back generations of poor people in cities, which are predominantly people of color. Look at Planned Parenthood, that aborts 1/3 of African American babies conceived. 13% of the population experiences 40% of abortions. Planned Parenthood was created by a prejudiced racist named Margaret Sanger to wipe out people of color and those she said were unfit. At one time, Jesse Jackson called abortion black genocide and compared abortion to slavery. Jackson said that the idea that a baby was the personal property of the mother and that she could do whatever she wanted to with it was the very premise of slavery. Sadly, he reversed his stance as he rose through the ranks of the Democratic Party. Look at the Democratic Party itself. Liberals and Democrats have accused President Trump of being prejudiced and a racist. And look, he don't do himself any favors when he calls the coronavirus the Kung Flu. He doesn't. But do you know who opposed ending slavery? The Democratic Party. Do you know that the South, where the majority of slavery happened, the majority of crimes committed against black people occurred after the Civil War, was the stronghold of the Democratic Party? Do you know why the nation had trouble ending slavery and racism, prejudice after the Civil War? 6 days after the Confederate Army surrendered, President Abraham Lincoln in the North to the Union, John Wilkes Booth, a Democrat, assassinated President Lincoln. Lincoln's vice president, a Democrat named Andrew Johnson, assumed the presidency. You see, things were done differently back then. The party that won, the candidate that won, became the president, and the party that had the second most votes, their candidate became the vice president. It's much different than it's done now. Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University, writes, "Johnson adamantly opposed Lincoln's plan to integrate the newly freed slaves into the South's economic and social order. Johnson and the Democratic Party were unified in their opposition to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which gave blacks citizenship, and the 15th Amendment, which gave blacks the right to vote. All three passed only because of universal Republican support." Do you know why the Republican Party was created? To abolish slavery. During the era of Reconstruction, federal troops stationed in the South helped secure rights for the newly freed slaves. But after Reconstruction ended, when the federal troops went home, Democrats roared back into power in the South. They quickly reestablished white supremacy across the region with measures like black codes, laws that restricted the ability of blacks to own property and run businesses. And they imposed poll taxes and literacy tests used to subvert the black citizens' right to vote. And how was all of this enforced? By terror. Much of it instigated by the Ku Klux Klan, founded by a Democrat, Nathan Bedford Forrest. As historian Eric Foner, himself a Democrat, notes, in effect, the Klan was a military force serving the interests of the Democratic Party. President Woodrow Wilson, Swain writes, a Democrat shared many views with the Klan. He resegregated many federal agencies and even screened the first movie ever played at the White House, the racist film The Birth of a Nation, originally entitled The Klansman. A few decades later, the only serious congressional opposition to the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964 came from Democrats. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for 75 days until Republicans mustered the few extra votes needed to break the logjam. Folks, that was 1964. That was not that long ago. Do you know that we have Democratic senators today that held public office then? She continues, and when all their efforts to enslave blacks, keep them enslaved, and keep them from voting had failed, the Democrats came up with a new strategy. If black people are going to vote, they might as well vote for Democrats. As President Lyndon Johnson was purported to have said about the Civil Rights Act, "I'll have those blanks voting Democrat for 200 years. How sinister do Joe Biden's words sound in light of this when he says, "If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black." Swain goes on to write, "So now the Democratic Party prospers on the votes of the very people it has spent much of its history oppressing. Democrats falsely claim that the Republican Party is the villain, when in reality, it's the failed policies of the Democratic Party that have kept blacks down. Massive government welfare has decimated the black family. Opposition to school choice has kept them trapped in failing schools. Politically correct policing has left black neighborhoods defenseless against violent crimes." And this week, when Tim Scott introduced a bill to reform police, the big issue at hand here today, the Democrats would not even sit down at the table to negotiate. "Woe to you hypocrites, you brood of vipers." Today, those who decry prejudice and who riot to denounce racism deface the Lincoln Memorial and tear down the statues of abolitionists. Lincoln took a bullet to the head because he freed the slaves. They rail against the party that freed the slaves, ended segregation, and a president whose policies have resulted in increased wages and the lowest unemployment for African Americans ever. That's one of the chief ways that racism can be defeated. African Americans have to be empowered economically, not through welfare, but through their own wealth. That's why what is known as the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was destroyed in 1921. African Americans were getting too powerful. They had built something good for their people, and their wealth and influence was growing. And so white racists, fearing their success, burn it to the ground. And they indiscriminately shot black men, women, and children. What a sinful stain this is for our nation's history. You see, when people have power through wealth and business, they can demand things like better education for their children. They can demand better policing for their communities. They are empowered within as a community. And like it or not, you don't have to like him, but Trump's economic policies have been doing exactly that, what is needed to help in racism. You see, those who study these things say that there's three things you need to succeed in America. You need to finish high school, education, get a job, wealth, and do not have a baby until you're 21. Have a stable home. What are the three primary issues that keep the African-American communities from succeeding? Lack of good education, education choice, welfare instead of wealth, and broken families. Liberal policies and racism have long perpetuated these things, and it needs to end. So as we see cities burn, as we see men tear down statues and destroy monuments, what is really going on? Why are people tearing down statues and defacing memorials to good men? I know a lot of people don't want to see any, you know, statues and memorials tore down. You know, I get, like, why they want to tear Confederate memorials down. Symbols of slavery, symbols of prejudice. But why in the world would you want to tear down a memorial to Abraham Lincoln, the man most responsible for ending slavery? There's more going on here than meets the eye. Why is there rejection of not just the bad things, but the good? Why are men seeking to set up autonomous zones free of government control? What in the world is going on here? What is happening is there is a rejection of the Christian foundation and godly heritage of our nation. It's a rejection of God and biblical thoughts and values taken to the extreme. You see, evil men hate America because she was birthed to be a light to the nations. She was founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, upon the Ten Commandments and biblical principles. They know if they can tear down these symbols of history, not just the bad, but the good as well, they can get us to accept a new history and a new way of life. A history with not only the bad things wiped out, but the good men wiped out too. A history devoid of the Christian foundation that we're built upon. A history that says that America was never great nor good, but evil. And we are headed to the day when faith and righteousness are going to be outlawed in our nation. You see, there's an insurgence going on, an insurrection. It's an effort to not only topple our government, but destroy our Christian nation and to erase her from history. Now, when I say those things, I am not referring to those who have experienced prejudice and inequality and who just want justice and to be put on a level playing field. Everybody understand that? Am I clear enough on that? Talking about sinister forces at work, instigating and provoking with the aim of a new revolution, a revolution, again, to topple our great nation. They have seized upon very, very real and serious issues to further their own agenda. It's a real issue of equality and bringing sinful actions to an end. But they've been hijacked for other purposes. You see, there is an entire generation in the United States of America that has bought into this because they do not understand why America has been called great. They have never known the truth of liberty's foundation, nor heard the true gospel upon which she was founded. We sang it earlier. What did God say about when he comes back? There will be people from what? Every tribe and every tongue, every nation, people from all over the world are going to join in the song of the Lamb. He's the one that came to set the captive free, to bring liberty and freedom to us. That's the foundation that America was built on, that all men are equal, all men are free, all men should have these same basic rights. All they have been taught is that white men oppress them and others. No one seems to mention that it was white men, the first in all of history, 2 million white men that went to war with other white men to free the slaves. No one talks about the fact that there are more slaves in the world today than at any other point in history. And it is not white men that hold them in slavery, by and large. Next week, as we celebrate our independence, I'm going to preach about where our liberty comes from and why America is great. Not because of herself, but because of the gospel that she was founded upon. We recognize that even today, maybe even especially today, America is imperfect. She's imperfect, just as the founding fathers were imperfect. And do you want to know why our nation is imperfect and the founding fathers were imperfect? Because all of us are imperfect. The Bible says that all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we have such a sad and sinful history regarding slavery and prejudice. But like flawed humans who see the light, America repented. Again, good men led by a good president went to war to stop the injustices of the day. Sadly, this battle did not end with the Civil War, but has raged on to this very day. My prayer is that God would bring an end to this battle, and that all men in America, all men in the world, would be treated as equal, particularly here in our land. But here's my warning this morning as I close. I've pointed out a lot of hypocrisy this morning, particularly on one side of the political aisle. Instead of a chorus of amens, let us each look inwardly to our own hearts, to our own churches, to whatever political party you ascribe to see if there be any hypocrisy in us. And let us purge ourselves of that sin. Amen. Woe to you hypocrites, you brood of vipers.